We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between two and five players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in three Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he bent me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard the pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. If Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose, and he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mention a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
As far as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
Hello and welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me is a very special guest, UWN World Champion. He is, of course, a former MLW Tag Team Champion, Mr. Danny Limelight. Danny, welcome to two-man power trip.
Hey, team, what up, man? Thanks for having me, two-man power trip. It feels good to be here. I'm carrying around this beautiful thing on my shoulder, and I'm ready to do this. What's up, brother?
Hey, we were just saying, David Marquez, he always does a good job with those title belts. They look awesome. Yeah.
Sure. Does, man, he puts the craftsmanship into this. Look at this.
Damn, some other companies could learn from that. Damn, that's awesome. Yeah, so what's going on?
Title, you know,
yeah, definitely. So, what's going on in your world? What have you been up to,
man? Look, today's January 4th at the time of this recording, and just now on Netflix, The Brother's Son just dropped. It's streaming on Netflix now, starring Michelle Yeoh. I gotta episode that I'm on in the show. So that just kicked off the year with that. It's a new show on Netflix. I'm in episode 7 of the show. It's a pretty badass action show. I think people are really going to like it. I just finished filming an Amazon Prime show. I just finished my short film. And then tomorrow morning, I'll be on a plane to Puerto Rico to defend this at IWA. Got a bunch of dates coming up with Reality of Wrestling. I have FSW in Vegas. I'm defending this belt on the 14th as well at United Wrestling against Peter Avalon. So really just staying busy. You know, I have a bunch of auditions I got to do, man. I'm doing school as well. Booked and busy, Papi. What about you?
Damn, not as busy as you, that's for sure. Wow, really busy. So is the acting thing, is that something that you're like more passionate about or just about as passionate about as wrestling?
Well, I mean, I'm very passionate about wrestling. I'm very passionate about Hollywood as well. Ever since I was a kid, my two dream jobs were being a professional wrestler and being an actor. I'm very blessed that I get to do both. But this last year, you know, it was a SAG strike going on, so the acting stuff was very slow the second half of the year, but it picked up the last 2 months, man, I tell you. And you know, I went, I shot my own film. I wrote it, producing it alongside my partner Miko Saad, who's an award-winning Egyptian filmmaker. It's a great story as well. So I wrote it, put it together. We finished filming that. We have big plans for this film. My last film, Joe Riv, that I did, won 6 awards at the festival. So I'm hoping that this one is gonna do better. So to answer your question, you know, I'm very passionate about everything that I do, you know, but I feel like long term, you know, eventually I'm going to hang up the trunks and just be doing the acting thing full time, you know, kind of taking the Rock and John Cena route. But obviously, you know, they had a kickstart by being so successful in wrestling. So I'm just using them, Dave Bautista as well, as inspiration.
Love that. Yeah, big time. It seems like that's a good trajectory, especially, you know, go all the way back. I mean, Hogan didn't make a huge Hollywood career, but I mean, he was in a bunch of movies, a bunch of mainstream stuff, then The Rock, and then Cena.
You know, you had all these guys. Stone Cold was in a few movies as well. Yep. I feel like even like Mercedes, you know, she's in a few things. I know she's in Mandalorian, but I was just watching a film on Amazon Prime, and she was playing one of the bad girls there. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, a bunch of, you know, the Iron Claw movie coming out, a bunch of guys I know did some stunt work there. You know, you had the heel show. So wrestling is kind of a good trajectory to go from, you know, that kind of entertainment to the entertainment from the silver screen. Obviously, not everybody can do it. But I feel like I'm very gifted and talented, and it's one of the things that I'm good at. And so I'm just going to ride that wave as far as it goes.
Now, what is your film about? Like, are you allowed to tell us, or is it something?
I can give you guys a little run through. You know, sure. It's about an Egyptologist named Sammy, who is on a mission to retrieve this ancient artifact of the Egyptian god of war, Montu. He forms an unlikely alliance with an ex-Marine Special Forces named Antonio. That's the character that I'm playing. It's a buddy cop, but without the cop. You know, it's like one of those action movies that have some comedy in it, where you have one guy who's just a badass fighter, and then you have the other guy who's kind of like the regular human being character that's kind of funny, the comic relief, the smart one, stuff like that. It's a little sidekick thing. I would relate it to, like, you know, like Lethal Weapon, Two Guns. But it has a lot of culture in it. It's a very diverse cast. And you know, the film is about this Egyptian artifact. You know, as we talk about Egypt alive, we talk about the god of war of Egypt. You know, a lot of people know the god of war Ares, or they know Kratos from the video games, but there was the god of war of Egypt, ancient Egypt times, named Montu, who was a fierce warrior. He specialized in military tactics. He was a master of all martial arts. So we tried to tell his story in this short film. My character Antonio, he's a husband, he's a father. He's suffering from PTSD. He's been doing therapy and trying to get over the stuff that happened to him in the war. And, you know, he's been doing good. You know, he's been, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing as a father and as a husband, staying out of trouble and kind of now taking back his power from the PTSD, from the trauma. You know, he's able to sleep through the nights now. He's doing better. Just when he thinks everything's going good, he's in the wrong place at the wrong time and gets pulled into this world, you know, by this guy, Sammy, you know, and all he was trying to do was get a birthday cake for his daughter's birthday party. He kind of gets knocked over with the cake by these guys chasing somebody. And he goes to, hey, you guys knocked my cake over. And finds himself in the middle of a shitstorm. And so he gets pulled into this world. And from there, it's a lot of action, a lot of fun. Great cast. I have Doug Jones in it. Most people know his name from Abe Sapien from Hellboy, the Silver Surfer from Fantastic Four, Shape of Water, the Academy Award winning film. He plays all those monster creatures. He's in this film as well, not playing a monster. We have Michelle Jubilee. She was in Black Panther. She's J-Lo's stunt double. We have Omar Hayward involved. He was also in Black Panther. We have Marwan Naji involved in the film. Ahmed Mawaz involved in the film. We have a lot of people, talented people from all over. My co-star is Miko Sad as well. My daughter's in the film. My daughter Khaleesi's playing my daughter in the film. She's also an actress. So just very thankful to have such amazing people that read the script, loved what they read, and wanted to be a part of this film. And we told an awesome story.
Man, you're going to be doing well with that one because you got a good cast for sure. So that's awesome. We're going to be on the lookout. What's the name? Are you allowed to give out the name?
It's if you look on IMDb, it's called Montu, M-O-N-T-U, Montu.
Okay.
And that's the name of the God of War. So the film's about that. It's in post-production right now being edited. And I'm sure after we get done with all that, we'll be sending it to the festivals and hoping to win some awards and do some things.
Nice. I like it. Going back to pro wrestling, though,
yes.
What is going on lately? Because it seems like we were saying, you're all over the place. You were just in Mexico, right? You were just AAA not that long ago.
Yeah, I was just in Mexico with AAA. I'll be back in AAA in February. Like I said, I'll be in Puerto Rico this weekend, then Houston, then Long Beach. Then I'll be in Florida for a bit, and then Vegas at FSW. And then in February, you know, I have AAA in Mexico. I have Ironheart Pro in Wisconsin, some other out-of-state bookings. Most of my bookings now are out-of-state, but, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Obviously, you know, I want a job, man. I've been a free agent since 2021 or 2022, actually, once I finished my time with MLW. But before that, everybody knows that I was with AEW for a year. I've been, you know, doing work with New Japan since 2020. But at this point in time right now, I'm a free agent. And, you know, I've reached out to people. I've contacted promoters. So we'll see. You know, I'm looking to pop up anywhere and do what it do.
Looking to sign that contract, right? That long-term deal.
Long-term deal. Lock me in. I'm money. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see where it is. Obviously, I have personal goals and personal opinions of where I want to be, but I'm also, you know, not closing any doors.
With AAA, with Mexico, is that relationship and that booking because of your relationship with Conan stemming back from MLW?
Yep. It's been since my relationship with Conan. Me and Slice Boogie are actually doing the 5150 thing down there in Mexico with him. Shout out to my partner, Slice Boogie. He's been killing it as well. He's the Santino Bros heavyweight champion right now. He's doing some cool things on the independents. He's a free agent. We're both free agents. After we left MLW, we haven't signed with anybody. You know, we've been exploring options. You know, we like what TNA is doing. You know, we like what AEW is doing. We like what New Japan's doing. Now, of course, we like what WWE is doing. So no doors closed. We open, we free, and we're looking to capture more gold too as a tag team. Maybe we'll become AAA tag team champions in Mexico. Who knows? You know, add some more gold to these shoulders. You know,
I like that idea. Where does that relationship come from? Because you guys, this it goes back a while, right? You and Slice Boogie, because it was like the Bodega at first, and then it was 5150, right?
Yeah. So I know Boogie from out here in the SoCal scene. He was on the independents at the same time. You know, when I went on to do New Japan and AEW stuff. He was coming up on the independents here. When I was doing the AEW and the New Japan stuff, I was still working at United. You know, that's my home company.
Yep.
They put us together as part of the Bodega with Papo Esco. Shout out to Papo. We were the tag team champions there. And then, you know, when he got – actually, we was the United Wrestling Network tag champs, the MLW world champs, world tag champs, and the IWA world – Puerto Rico world tag champs at the same time.
Wow.
Slice got injured. And I went back to doing the singles because I was a singles wrestler before I was a tag wrestler. So I went back to doing the single stuff, picked up a few championships last year. I was the FSW No Limits champion. I was this champion. I was a VWE SoCal champion. I mean, I'm going on almost 400 days as United Wrestling Network world champion right now. So me and Boogie, you know, when he was injured, I went out to do the single stuff, but we were still, you know, keeping in touch, checking on each other and stuff like that. That's my brother, man. He's actually in the film as well.
I got him a role in the film. He has actually a pretty big role. It's a cool role for him. I know he's expressed his interest now to start stepping into that Hollywood doorway, you know. So trying to give him a platform, of course, because that's my boy. But he's in the film as well. So then now that he's back from injury, you know, we hit Conan up like, hey, you know, Boogie's back. Let's rock. And Conan always shows us love, you know, brought us out there immediately.
I love that because you guys do have good chemistry. Obviously, he's a big boy, but I just like the difference between you guys.
Yeah.
Just because that makes, to me, it always makes the best tag team. It's not when the guys are identical. I like when there's a little bit of spice to it.
Yeah, we got that Sasson. We bring the Sasson to the ring, you know. And I mean, we could talk the talk. We could walk the walk in the ring, you know. I think me and Boogie are money. I think that there's a lot of money being missed out right now by these companies that don't want to bring us in. I mean, obviously, I know AEW has the Eddie Kingstons, the Santanas, the Ortizes. But, you know, like, what's up? We got NWA. We got NXT. We got TNA. A lot of these places could use a tag team like me and Boogie. So, I mean, I would have thought with TNA, you know, having the history of the LAX, you know, why not? Why not bring us in? So, we'll see.
Any talks with TNA as of yet?
I haven't talked with nobody.
They need to call you. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I said, I'm a free agent. I'm not in any contract negotiations with anybody right now. I'm just honestly, Max, been enjoying life. I've been wrestling all over, and really kicked that door down into Hollywood. And with all this stuff that I've been doing, all these auditions I have coming up, all these TV shows and stuff like that, my schedule has been super busy. But you know, that's the long term goal for me. So whatever hits first, you know. If TNA wants to give us a holler, you know, we're gonna answer the phone. If WWE wants to give us a call, we're gonna answer the phone. If AEW, any of these companies, man, Ring of Honor, you know, New Japan, we ready. The Bodega, 5150, we ready.
With MLW and that being over with, is that just the contract was up and you guys were gone, or what was the issue with or the deal with the MLW?
I just, you know, my time was up there, so I left. And then, and you know, they, after my contract was done with them, after we went our ways, they brought me back about 8 months ago, and I did a match with Hammerstone when he was still the MLW world champion in Mexico. So, I mean, that, obviously, you know, there's no bad blood there. There's no hate there. You know, I give MLW a lot of credit because they was the first company to give me a live mic. You know, that's when the whole mic on safety off thing came from, was from MLW. It's a funny story. One time we was at the ECW arena in Philly, and production went down. And they're like, fuck, you know, we need somebody to go out there and kill time. You know, and they're like, oh, send Limelight out there with a mic. And it was after that, it was a wrap. Every show, before every match, promo. And Limelight, talk before. So, I mean, you know, a lot of companies, every time I get booked, I cut a promo, always. I like to promote. I like to sell tickets, if you will. But with United, they would always give me backstage promos, pre-tapes, things like that. MLW was the first company that gave me the live mic. And then obviously now, like with United, I have a live mic or whatever, talking my talk. I love promos, so it's one of my favorite things. But I used to ask all the time at AEW. I would be like, can I cut a promo? Can I cut a promo? Can I talk? And it was nah. So, but it's all good. You know, I learned a lot from everywhere that I've been. I spent the last, I think ever since I left AEW, I spent my time just maturing, working on myself, bettering myself, understanding the business part, understanding how to conduct myself. So, you know, doors open for whatever company wants to bring Poppy.
How come AEW wouldn't give you the mic? What's that about?
I don't know. You know, I was just, you know, I was on a 1 year deal, that tier zero 1 year deal with them, per appearance type deal. And I don't know. I couldn't give you a direct answer. You know, I would ask the people all the time. But I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining because they gave me so many opportunities. I wrestled some of the best in the world. You know, I got to wrestle Kenny. I got to wrestle John Moxley, Phoenix, Seidel, you know, Eddie Kingston. The list goes on.
Takeshita. Yeah.
You know, like that was my favorite match ever when I was there. You know, was my match with Konosuke. I was actually his first match at AEW.
Wow.
So they gave me a lot of opportunities. I'm super thankful to TK, you know, Mr. Tony Khan. He gave me a lot of opportunities. I was in the first ever Elevation match with Jungle Boy. So definitely not bitter. Obviously, I wish that things continued and that I was able to really grab that microphone and show them what I can do. But they helped me become who Danny Limelight is. And then once I got to MLW, they gave me the mic and I added, you know, this other side of my character that I've been wanting to tell, but I was able to do with the microphone. And then now what everybody sees now when they watch me wrestle, you know, I think I'm the perfect form of who I've ever been as far as who I am in the ring. You know, I understand what I'm doing very, very well now. And I'm super grateful for all the companies that allowed me to practice my craft and get to the point where I feel confident every time I step into the ring now, whether it's with a microphone or whether it's in wrestling gear or whatever for a segment, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? So
I always found it interesting because I've seen you a bunch in Philly. I was like, do they really need Conan or like Julius Smokes? Do they really need a manager? This guy can talk. Like, you know, sometimes they usually give people a manager that can't really talk. That's kind of like an old school thing, but they do that.
I think that they didn't really know what they were getting with me and Boogie. You know, I had just came from AEW. No one's ever saw me talk on AEW. They just saw me be this crazy, innovative wrestler. You know, Boogie was this big dude, you know, jacked guy. Conan had a lot of love for us. I met Conan in 2016 at an indie show in San Diego, and he brought me to Mexico back then to open the Crash when Hijo de Santo was there. You know, I remember being there with Hijo de Santo, Lince Dorado, Phoenix, Penta, Willie Mack, Ray Horace, just all these names on this one show. And I'm 1 year in the business, and Conan brought me in to open the show. And, you know, my relationship with Conan stems from back then, you know. So he always showed me love. And when he hit me up, you know, when it got loose that I was a free agent, I wasn't working with AEW no more, he called me like the next day and was like, I have an idea. And so when he brought us in, you know, Court Bauer, I had never met him before. He probably didn't know who I was. Maybe he did. I don't know. And they aligned us with Conan and Julius Smokes. I feel like having Conan with us when we first started, it was to like solidify, okay, these guys got the stamp from Conan as the new LAX 5150, whatever you want to call it. And then I think, you know, once they saw what we can actually do, because it got to the point, you know, and Emilio Sparks, shout out to Emilio, who's one of the producers back then when I was there, him and Biff Lawson, they saw me and Boogie and what we was trying to do, and they let us run with it. You know, like we was producing our own segments. Like they would give us these papers and we'd be like, nah, let's do this instead, you know, or let's tweak this instead, you know, like let's make let and they trusted us. You know, I remember one time we was in Dallas. And I have a lot of homegirls all over the U.S. and Mexico and Puerto Rico. I know a lot of women that I'm cool with, you know, from the time in the military, time promoting at clubs in L.A., just being poppy, you know, like. So we was in Dallas. I was like, how do guys? I got a couple homegirls. They're beautiful. You know, let's do like a strip club scene, like a scene where we're partying with the title. We just won the Puerto Rico titles and the IWA titles in Puerto Rico. We got the MLW World title. Like, let's do something where the girls are wearing our belts and we're partying, we're celebrating. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. Call the girls, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then it was time when we were shooting. We were like, they want us to do something with Dario Cueto or whatever they were calling him at MLW, but the guy from Lucha Underground, the manager, boss, whatever. And they wanted us to do something with him backstage. We was developing this relationship with him. Like, man, what if we shooting dice with him backstage and we're betting money with him, you know, like. One point they wanted us to like be celebrating with him with a 45, those like a 40, like nobody drinks 40s no more, you know. Slice was like, man, we don't drink 40s, like let's get some Hennessy, like yeah, let's get some Hennessy, you know. Then the whole Hennessy thing started and it was just like they just allowed us to be ourselves and they trusted us and we were just putting out good stuff, you know. And I think that once they seen, okay, these guys can do it, you know, there was no more issues. You know, Conan, you know, unfortunately he had gotten sick, so he wasn't able to show up. Thank God he's better now, but he wasn't able to show up, but it didn't affect us. It's like, oh, it's fine. You know, they're going to be good. Just let them talk, you know? And so that's how it worked out for us. I mean, I didn't mind it at first. I was like, you know, we'll see how this goes. You know, like it could go either way. It can work for us. It could not. But once they started letting us talk, and I think the people, the fans, everybody was really either hating us or loving it. You know, we had a lot of fun. The one thing that I wish that we did get to do at MLW with me and Slice was I wish they let us have actual wrestling matches, though. I felt like every match that we had was like a hardcore or a street fight, or like they brought Hernandez in one time and we had like a bunkyard brawl, or like with Devon Erics and the farm and shit like that type deal. You know? That was the one thing that I wish that we got to do was have like an actual wrestling tag match, you know? And then when Boogie got injured, they kind of didn't have nothing for me. And I was like, this is weird. Like I'm a singles wrestler. You could put me in the ring with anybody in this company and I'm going to shine, you know, or make them look good, you know, one or the other, whatever it is needed of me. I could talk, I could carry my own weight, but they just, you know, they had a middleweight division. They had, you know, an open weight division. I was like, man, you know, you could have put me anywhere over there and let me do my thing, but they didn't have nothing for me. And so I was like, you know, I appreciate everything you guys did for me, but if you guys don't have nothing for me, Boogie's out for a year and I'm not going to be sitting here for a year doing nothing, you know?
Yep.
So it worked. It all worked out, I think. You know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the time that I had at MLW. It helped me grow as a competitor, helped me grow as a character, as a brand. You know, now that Boogie's back, man, we ready for whatever.
Definitely looking forward to that. Wherever you guys go, definitely looking forward to it. What about New Japan Pro Wrestling? New Japan Strong. I feel like you guys are, you know, part of, or you are really part of Team Filthy. I mean, you're pretty big part of New Japan Strong. Are you liking that aspect of New Japan?
Yeah, I mean, I love being part of Team Filthy. That's the thing that I actually had at New Japan Strong. I had a program with Homicide, and you know, I had Homicide. Yep. I had worked with Homicide at MLW. I mean, in Philly, we won the MLW World Tag Team Championships with Homicide there. He helped us in a ladder match in Texas and stuff. So we already had this relationship, but Homicide was feuding with Tom Lawler, and Tom Lawler was Team Filthy leader, and I was with Team Filthy before I was with LAX. Storyline wise, so we kind of used that. We kind of played to that about I was Team Filthy first, and I love teaming with Tom, love teaming with Kratos, West Coast Wrecking Crew. They're killing it right now. I don't know how nobody hasn't signed those guys yet. That's insane. But I like New Japan. You know, it's a fun place. It's very intense. It's the best wrestling in the world. And I think Boogie would be good there. I think if, you know, they brought Boogie in, let me and Boogie do a little bodega. Or 50, whatever they want to call us, the bodega, 5150, they call us whatever they want. You know, I think that would be cool. You know, we could do some stuff in the tag division there. Why not?
When you look at New Japan, would you like to be going to Japan, or do you like being on the U.S. soil? Like, do you want to go over there and experience that?
I mean, of course, I want to go over there and experience that. You know, I think that if I'm going to say I'm wrestling with New Japan, I need to at least, you know, once step foot in the ring in Japan. You know, I mean, I lived in Japan for 2 years when I was in the military. I was in Okinawa for 2 years, but I've never wrestled in Japan. You know, I wrestled in Mexico. I wrestled in Puerto Rico. But I would love to, you know what I'm saying, do the Cerulean Blue out there in Japan. Why not? I'm ready. You know, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. My ring work is the best it's ever been. So let's do it. Let's make it happen. For Super Juniors, you know? Why not?
Yeah, definitely. Now, what did you serve? What branch?
I was in the Marine Corps. For 10 years.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah, thank you for your service. Nice. Awesome.
The staff sergeant in the Marines. I was a Marine Corps drill instructor. So I made over 350 Marines when they were going through boot camp. I was running around screaming at these kids, training them, breaking them down, building them back up. Did that for a long time, man. I was a first degree black belt instructor in the Marine Corps martial arts program. I was a rifle expert. I was a combat instructor. I've lived a little life, you know?
Damn, you did. Like the what you're saying, it's like this guy's got to be 60 years old. He did all this stuff. Look at that.
I'm 32.
Yeah, not even close. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. You've lived the life. Damn. That's pretty impressive. So this pro wrestling stuff. Wow, that's easy compared to the military life. Damn.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling is a different kind of, you know, different kind of work. You know, it's like I don't want to say like it's easy because I'm sore. There's times where I'm injured. I'm hurting. Or I'm tired, or I'm, you know, sleeping on a plane, sleeping on a hotel, eating at a plane, airport, you know, like it has its own trials and tribulations, you know, navigating the politics, navigating the business aspect of it. The Marine Corps kind of just prepared me for the ability to just be able to adapt to everything, you know, having that motivation, that commitment, you know, that drive. The Marine Corps is the best branch in the world. There's no other military better than the Marine Corps. So everything that they instilled in me and everything that I was able to take and then instill in Marines as a leader of Marines, I think it makes me very, very different from a lot of the regular guys that I just ran around the ring as a wrestler. You know, I've done a lot of things in life, you know, and I think that being able to navigate, you know, the military, being a father to two kids, you know, wrestling, acting, writing, producing, stunt work, going to school full time. You know, I'm in school full time as well. So it's a lot, but it's nothing I can't handle. I have a good support system, a good team of people that I feel like really love me, that really want to see me win. And, you know, one thing that nobody can say about me is I don't try to open doors for other people.
Man, you are juggling everything. I mean, it seems like a good juggling act. You're doing a lot of things at once, but you've been able to, it seems like you handled it pretty easily. Well, not easily, but pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I feel like I do. Obviously, there's times where I'm like, you know, but I think we all have those moments. Right now, I'm fully loaded, locked in, grind mode. I've been on a 90-day push of just straight work, and even through the holidays, you know. So, and it's not slowing down anytime soon.
Now, what I always like to do is ask the guy, not favorite matches, but it's almost like people are obsessed with those YouTube playlists and they'll just put it in and just let it go and let it try. So if I did a YouTube playlist of like Danny Limelight matches, what should be on there? I know you said Takesh to AEW, but what else should be on that playlist?
I would put me versus Takesh, me versus John Moxley, me versus Ray Phoenix, me versus Brian Cage, all those from AEW. I think me versus Brian Cage is one of the best 5-minute matches ever. It's literally 5 minutes. It's an awesome match. Brian Cage, it's actually the match that really got me noticed by Tony Khan, and I'm forever thankful to Brian for that. Me versus Jordan Clearwater for the UWN world title. When I beat him for the championship, it was a full episode. One of my favorite matches, just the drama, the buildup to it, the pre-hype package leading to the match, just everything. You know, it was a 6 to 8 month build. It was the first time I turned face in the company, and it was an awesome story, you know. So that one is one of my favorites. My match with Eddie Kingston at the Red Carpet Rumble for the UWN World title should be there. My match with Bodie from FSW, when he beat me for the No Limits Championship. Bodie, now, if you don't know Bodie, he's a 16-year-old young prodigy in professional wrestling. And we had a good six-month story going, where I was saying I'm his new step-oppy and just disrespecting his little kid and his mom and all that. And the match took place on Father's Day. And my daughter came with me to the ring. He made a promo where he's like, bring your daughter so she could see a real role model. Like, it was just this awesome story. And in the middle of the match at some point, I distracted the ref and my daughter came in the ring and she hit like a springboard tornado DDT onto Bodie. Oh. Mind you, she's 9 years old and she killed it. I'm sure if you look online, you can find it. But, like, just the reaction to pop, and I cover him. One, two, he kicks out. The crowd goes crazy. Now my daughter's outside with his mom, and they're arguing. They're fighting. And I get into it with, hey, get away from my daughter, blah, blah, blah. And when I come in, Bodie does his thing. And it was just a well-told story. It made sense. It was believable. And just it being on Father's Day and being able to have that moment with my daughter is awesome, man. That would definitely have to be there. My match with Tom Lawler, where I defended my United Wrestling Network world title against Tom Lawler, was one of my favorite matches. Tom beat the fuck out of me. Sorry for my language. That's Tom. I still love Tom, but he really laid into me in that match, and it was a hard-hitting match that I'm really grateful for. I learned a lot in that match. I would say a New Japan match that I had with Rocky Romero. My Lions Break Crown Tournament match with Clark Connors, the finals from the Lions Break Crown Tournament when I first got to New Japan. That's one of my favorite matches too. There's a lot of matches out there that I really like when I sit back and I'm watching old footage and maybe, you know, this shit that I was doing back then. I'm like, oh, I should start doing that move again. I got into this like stride where now I have my like five John Cena moves, you know, like my five moves of death or whatever the people want to say. Yes. I hit it every match and it's like, these are my favorite moves. I know where to put it. I know how the crowd's going to react to it, you know. But back about a year and a half ago to 2 years ago, I was super innovative, always trying new things. And when I watched my old stuff to get better, I'm like, oh, I should try this again. Oh, I should pull this out. Then I'm like, oh, I didn't like how I did that, you know. So it's constantly studying, constantly evolving. And when you talk about this playlist of Danny Limelight Matches, you know, a lot of that stuff has to be there.
Love that. Now, as far as matches you haven't had, I know that people call them dream matches, people don't call them that, but just maybe putting something out there to put it into the universe of guys you do want to wrestle so that it does happen.
Well, I would add also my match with Lince Dorado onto the playlist too. That was one of my favorite matches from.
Oh, okay. Nice. 22.
Yeah. So guys that I would like to wrestle, I mean, I'm whoever, you know, I'm not one of those guys that are super picky and I don't want to wrestle this guy, I don't want to wrestle that guy. If I had to come up with a list off the top of my head right now, Jay White, Swerve, Speedball, Mike Bailey. I would like to have another match with JT Dunn from the East Coast. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I would like to, Chris Bay. Awesome. I would like to have him wrestle Chris Bay one-on-one in about four or five years. So I would like to do that again. Will Ospreay.
That would be a good one.
Dolph Ziggler.
Hey, he's made his debut with New Japan, so that could be definitely possible. Him and his brother, yeah.
Yep. So off the top of my head, those are the names. And I said Dolph Ziggler because I was in a movie with him, one of John Morrison's films, The Speed of Time. And I had a conversation. At that time, I hadn't even had gone to New Japan. I had just did my New Japan tryout and I hadn't gone to New Japan, hadn't gone to AEW, and he was still obviously in WWE. I told him I was an independent wrestler, blah, blah, blah. Like I was like, one day I want to wrestle you, you know, I hope to wrestle you one day. So now that he's no longer at the WWE and he's at New Japan and probably going to be walking through some other doors, I'm sure. I'm hoping maybe he'll walk into United Wrestling Network, you know?
Yeah, that would be nice for sure. As we hit the wind down, we'll head towards the finish here. What about like a WWE, NXT, something like that? Is that something open to? I know it might be like an obvious question, of course, but honestly, like,
if someone was asking where you want to go right now, I would tell Boogie, pack your bags, let's go to Florida. Let's go to NXT. I think that NXT doesn't have anything like me and Boogie. I think that we would be able to do some awesome things there as a tag team. I would love to get in the ring with Melo. You know, I would love to get in the ring with Trick Williams, throw us in the ring with anybody from over at WWE is the place. My boy Carl Fredericks, or excuse me, Eddie Thorpe's down there now. I've had some crazy matches. I have some crazy matches with him at New Japan. I love to run it back with Eddie, you know. So we'll see. I don't close the doors. I've expressed in other interviews and for that I want to end up at WWE one day. But you know, it's a long road, it's a journey, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So we'll see where I end up, where I go, where you see me pop up. But until then, I'm you know, you for sure see me at United Wrestling Network.
Definitely. Now, what's next for you? I know we were kind of saying a little bit of what's next, but kind of recap and maybe give us what else is coming up for you.
Yeah, defending the United Wrestling Network in Puerto Rico, at IWA, Savio Vegas Promotion. From there, I will be going to Houston to Reality of Wrestling, Booker T's promotion, to be wrestling Eli Knight in a rematch. January 14th, so the next day after that, I'll be at United Wrestling Network in Long Beach defending the belt against Peter Avalon. If I happen to lose in Puerto Rico, then Azazel, who's my opponent in Puerto Rico, will be defending against Peter Avalon. But I don't plan on losing, so I plan on also being at United Wrestling on the 14th to defend my belt. I'm approaching 400 days after that day, so that's the plan. Then FSW, I have some shows with AAA coming up. Ironheart Pro in Wisconsin. I got some other shows in Texas and all these other Midwest states that I'm excited for as well. Some new debuts, continuing to work on a new script that I'm writing right now. And then obviously get this film edited in post-production, get it to the festivals, win some awards. And hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. Like, you know, I think by the end of this year or early next year, the show that I filmed with Amazon Prime last month will be coming out. I have a cool role. I'm playing a bad guy in that show. So just hoping for big things, man. Big things for me, big things for my family, my daughter, you know, and all my brothers, you know, Slice Boogie, people that I can consider family. I'm just hoping big things for 2024 for everybody.
And where can we see you on Amazon Prime and Netflix? What shows were that? Was that again?
The Netflix show is called The Brother Son. It just came out today, as of the day of this taping, January 4th. It's called The Brother Son, starring Michelle Yeoh, Academy Award winner from Everything Everywhere All at Once, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She's the GOAT. You know, she's the GOAT female martial artist. So that show is out right now. And then the show I just filmed with Amazon is called On Call. It's a cop show. It's going to be really, really, really fun for people.
Now, where can everybody find you? Social media, websites, otherwise?
For everybody looking to get in contact with me, look me up. I'm not hard to find. I'm on all social media as Danny Limelight, prowrestlingtees.com/DannyLimelight for all my merchandise. And, you know, even if you want to look at my IMDb, it's Daniel L. Rivera, my actual name. So.
All right. Awesome. Good luck with everything. Good luck with your film and all the TV shows. Man, you're kicking ass and taking names out there. So thank you for all the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.